join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kbu.org, all one word, or message us on Instagram at @PacUnderground.
KBOO is hiring a data coordinator. Our data coordinator supports KBOO's fundraising activities by organizing donor information, tabulating contributions and campaign totals, and maintains KBOO's database. Experience working with Donor Perfect preferred. The deadline to apply is Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. For a full job description and more information on how to apply, see our website at kboo.fm/employment. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer.
Now my opportunity, you in jeopardy. Yo, yo, set me free, don't end them and let me be.
I'm out here for freedom, I got the heat in case you need them. A straight soldier, ain't nobody told ya.
We've been together since I created border. The African border celebration is in order.
My only chance of being free is to fly within me, and it's illegal to kill a freaking eagle. A bird is never more important than my people. I guess we didn't need him, so I took away his freedom.
And you're listening to The Struggle, another week of the coronavirus. And we're here in the studio. It's me.
We want full-fledged membership in the Black Panther Party.
Oh, okay. All right.
We want full-fledged membership in the Black Panther
Demand
Party.
Demand number one, we want full-fledged membership in the Black Panther Party.
The next line is the line from the movie, 1995. Mm-hmm. And none of this okay sugar, as long as you rubbing my back and massaging my feet BS either. You dig? That's the line. Go on. We'll finish, Olivia.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just little me, Olivia. Back like I am every week, and I'm with my co-host, Alyssa. Alyssa, how are you?
I'm okay. I want to continue from last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the president of the nurses union, Adrian Enghouse, to come back here to give us all an update, because I don't feel good about giving people medical advice, me and you, Olivia.
No, so, I mean, definitely not. Definitely not.
Let's bring in a professional from the OFNHP, the Oregon Federation of Nurses and Healthcare Professionals.
Boom!
Boom.
Hey.
Adrian, if you can just fill people in about what is out there now, and then, like, what are people missing that you feel like they need to know?
Well, you know, I just, first of all, the OFNHP and knowing our what it stands for, that's... Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I feel like it's a sobriety test.
I'm sober, I swear.
So, thanks for having us back. I'm really glad to be here. And there's a lot going on. You're right. I think the first, if you want to start from the top down, you know, our government and leadership has failed us. And it's going to take leadership within organizations like OFNHP to lead us through this. Mm. And we have to be... You know, we have to be AFT, American Federation of Teachers, who is our parent union. They're doing a lot of leadership in this as well. They're assessing policy. They're pushing back on policy that's inadequate. You know, our president, Randy Weingarten, is, you know, on the Hill, telling legislators, you got to fix this. So in the meantime, they're also giving us a lot of information to sort through, because we represent... you know, preschool teachers, we represent housekeepers, we represent, you know, all the way doctors, the mm-hmm. whole continuum of teamwork that interface with the community.
Mm-hmm.
So given that whole continuum of team, you know, we have to be able to say what, first of all, the first priority is to lower the curve. And so when I talk about the curve, it's from when you have your first patient all the way up. Well, that curve is very, you know, it's exponentially double every day.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want is to be able to flatten that curve and have fewer confirmed cases. Mm-hmm. So what can we do socially to do that? And our government was very behind the curve on that. But I would say, you know, we need to do the social distancing, 6 feet or more. We need to close down facilities that don't need to be open. We need mm-hmm. to not have, you know, have meetings that we don't need to have. We are truly going to find out what meetings could be done by email.
Yeah, I saw that.
The first thing we're going to do socially. So then you know, that's what we can do. Wash our hands. If we're sick, stay home. Keep our kids home. You know. Not have a run on toilet paper. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Mm. So socially, medically, in the clinics and in the hospitals, we have to start deciding what's happening that doesn't need to happen. Mm. You know, thinking about, do you need to go to the dentist? Don't go. You know, a cleaning is an elective procedure. Do you need to have your glasses fitted right now? Nope. You should probably wait on that. Do you have to have your prescription filled? Can you do it by mail order? You probably should. So really scrutinizing as organizations. And then in terms of the organizations, hospitals, and clinics, well, that's what they should be thinking about. Obviously, the schools are being closed in Oregon and Washington and many other states. And then, and, you know, as health professionals, we have to make sure that we're protected and our patients are protected. And that's where the Oregon, that's where OFNHP and your union, and this is why it's crucial that health professionals are unionized. It should be a no-brainer. Health professionals should be unionized. And the reason that's crucial is because it's the only way they can speak up and be protected. Otherwise, you're not protected. And in facilities where you're not protected, there's a lot less speaking up. So we're able to speak up and say, no, that mask isn't adequate. This is adequate. No, we'll only use this product. We won't use that product. No, our patients need X. We won't give them Y. Mm. You know, and so that's a something that we have that, you know, other organizations within our community don't have. And I think it should just be mandatory that health professionals get unionized.
Yes.
And if you're interested, you can call me at 503.
give the number.
Oh, 503-810-4489.
Is that your personal phone number?
It's the only number I have. God.
If you're a health professional that's not unionized, yes, you can call and get organized. I love
absolutely.
It.
Okay. Absolutely. So you know, and I also think that, you know, our organization is able to put out information. You know, the employers are putting out just a lot of cover your behind information. We're going to boil it down because we're clinicians. Like, what do you need to know to go to work on Monday? What do you need to know to take care of your patient? When you walk in a room, what should you be thinking of? Because we think like clinicians, and we're going to give information like clinicians. So, and then in terms of community, I think a lot of people are really looking to us right now for guidance.
We are.
Yeah, like, what should I do? And, you know, the things that the government are recommending are fine. I think that really people have to, it's not going to be easy. You know, I walked by and the bars are full. It's probably not a good time to be having happy hour, right? I walked by a restaurant, it's full. It probably shouldn't be. So I just think that there's things that people really have to seriously be thinking about to protect themselves in this time. So those are the things that I would recommend. And if there's other questions, if people have questions, I'm happy to field those as best I can. I mean, I'm a nurse and a union president. I'm not an epidemiologist or, you know, a policy wonk. But
yeah. What are you saying that people are getting wrong, like hot takes that people have that are not correct?
I don't think that employers are providing enough testing. I'm positive. Mm. Where the state of Oregon's getting 80 tests a day. So they are rationing to only people that are in the hospital and hospitalized, right? Now, Washington State has 2,000 tests a day. Washington State is probably going to be like the epicenter. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be our Wuhan. Mm. And Oregon is going to be like the province next to China, which I can't say the name, the Wuhan. And so we need more testing, or it's just going to keep spreading. This is false suppression of the numbers by not testing.
Yeah.
And it also means it's going to be spread more widely. So I think the first thing is we don't have enough equipment. Period. We don't have enough equipment. We could set a pop-up out here and do test swabs. We don't have enough swabs. So, you know, we don't have enough masks. There's just not enough stuff. So how to ration that is going to be, you know, how we ration that and still keep people safe. It's going to be shutting down areas like if there's some of these surgical centers that, you know, then we might have to shut those down. You know, you're not going to get your boob job. It's non-essential. So you're probably, I never anyone here is really disappointed, but.
I am actually. I have to get my tires.
Okay, but yeah, but you're late. She does need it. She does need her.
I was supposed to get my implants taken out 2 years ago.
Everybody except for Alyssa. Alyssa needs it.
No.
So we talked about this.
Yeah, honestly, it's really important. I mean, those are the kind of things because those supplies are going to have to come to more acute care facilities where we're taking care of patients. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, if we're not protecting these healthcare workers with the highest quality and highest level of personal protection equipment, we're going to have sick healthcare workers, and there's going to be no one. So when we're looking at one of the worst places like Italy, mm-hmm. and how Italy's being impacted, we need to not do that. And we're not doing that. Like, we're doing what they're doing, and we're headed for a failure. Now, we haven't seen the exponential increases in numbers yet, but again, we're not testing at a level that we should be necessarily. I think also just really thinking from my heart, I think I just want to check on my neighbors. You know, I have these little old ladies that live next door. How are you doing? Telling my mom, you don't get to go to Goodwill this week. I'll take you for a walk. Like, from our hearts, I think. And also, there's closed schools. There's children who rely on food from school. Who's looking out for them now?
Yeah.
Right? Who's looking out for their parents who have to leave them alone because they cannot afford to miss work? Who's going to pay when those kids are sick? You know, I think we have to think now nationally, we're going to have to search our souls about how to take care of people in a way that we never have. And it's going to be devastating. And, you know, businesses are acting like, oh, we're going to be out of money. And they are. But I don't have sympathy for them. I want to make sure that people get taken care of. And so I think that's going to be our primary thing is the sequela of this COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So the national president of the union, Randy Weingarten, you said is on the Hill in D.C. Is there any report out?
Randy's all over the country, but I have heard from the Oregon delegation that there are bills, and Nancy Pelosi, that there are bills going forward. I could not give you details about them. I've just seen little bits of information here and there. Mm-hmm. So I do think that the Democrats want to do something about making sure people have 2 weeks of sick leave and paid sick leave and people can take time off if they need to. The Republicans want to give tax credits to employers, which we know no one will ever see, right? So,
Jesus.
So, you know, I think that AFT has been really effective in those kind of fights, and I suspect that they will continue to be really effective in those kind of fights. And those are the kind of things that, you know, why it's important to have your union involved in politics. I know people don't like to broach that subject, but this is a really good example of why our unions need to be up there fighting for us, because you know who else is fighting? The employers.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't have a counterbalance to the employers, mm-hmm. what do we have, you know? So
so I know that you've got things that you want to go to after this, and we've got some other guests in here.
Yes, we do.
So is there any like final stuff that you feel like is like not on the table that you want to throw down before you
wash your hands?
just wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Cover your mouth.
You can just wash your hands anytime you want to.
Cover your mouth when you sneeze. You know, if you can stop, you know, a sneeze can spread germs in droplets and aerosolization, you know, for 25 feet. If you cover your mouth, guess what? It doesn't. So those are really important things. I say sneeze into your elbow, wash your hands. We can decrease this. Something we should have always been doing, it would also decrease the flu. So until we have a vaccination, until we have something to cure this, we really need to do the best we can with the basic tools. So that would be my community recommendation, my Excellent. Public service announcement for the day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that's Adrienne Enghaus, president of the Nurses Union, the OFNHP, the Oregon Federation of Nurses and Healthcare
Professionals.
Boom. So thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word. Back. Listen, everybody.
That is the word from Enghaus, Ms. Enghaus.
Thank you, guys. See you later. Bye.
So, Olivia, I just before we jump in to some of the updates from your union struggle, I want to read from the Portland DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, them calling on the mayor and the governor to act on coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just recently posted today, and listen until the end because there are links to resources that we want people to know about, including what Adrian was talking about, kids who
need food
tomorrow. There are some places that are going to be stepping up. Mm-hmm. But on The Struggle, I feel like it's important to bring in voices from activists, and no, we're not all able to converge like we usually do and do public demonstrations.
Mm.
But this is the collective voice of the Democratic Socialists of America Portland chapter. Portland DSA calls on Mayor Ted Wheeler and Governor Kate Brown to put an immediate freeze on all rent and mortgage payments and evictions, a freeze on all utility payments, an immediate end to all displacement and sweeps of houseless camps, and the ongoing additional shelters throughout the city of Portland and the state of Oregon. In the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, it is clear that our nation and our city are unprepared for the challenges ahead. In order to respond to this pandemic, public health officials and scientists have recommended that people stay home, that all large public gatherings be canceled, that everyone should get tested if they have symptoms, and that business not go on as usual. Yet capitalism demands that working class people leave their homes to go to work, often in high traffic areas, and even when sick. If they do not, they will face the consequences of unemployment, eviction, homelessness, starvation, and death. This is without the threat of a virus. This is everyday parasitic capitalism. Mm. Yet in the midst of this crisis moment, the capitalist system still demands that business go on as usual. It fears economic slowdown more than it does the poverty of its laborers. It is content to have sick people go to work for fear of losing their homes or their health care. Without a remedy for this massive slowdown of economic activity, we will see companies lay off and shove aside the very workers who provide them the labor and profit. As people are laid off from their jobs, with rent and car payments and utility bills due, childcare, student loans, and health care bills pending, and no relief from our society, it is a guarantee that houselessness will increase and more people experiencing houselessness will die, all of them forgotten and rejected by the owners of capital. Nearly 100 unhoused people died in our streets in 2018, according to county statistics. This was without the threat of a virus. Business as usual was already fatal for our houseless neighbors. And in the midst of crisis, the owners of capital are naturally ignoring their suffering and protecting themselves. Mayor Wheeler and Governor Brown have both declared a state of emergency, which grants them considerable powers that they must use to mitigate this crisis. The progressive leaders of our city and state must use their powers to call an emergency and halt all evictions, all collections of rent, mortgages, and utility payments, and must open emergency homeless shelters throughout the city that are prepared for containing the virus and helping those who are already sick. Furthermore, the governor must release as many incarcerated people as possible, as well as shut down all immigration detention in our state, and ICE must cancel all check-in appointments. Governor Kate Brown has closed all public schools for the time being, as recommended by the Portland Association of Teachers, but she must ensure mechanisms are established whereby students who receive food or resources from school have their needs met. Mayor Ted Wheeler should also put a permanent end to all sweeps of houseless camps by Portland police, a practice that was unjust and cruel before the pandemic and is unconscionable now. They must also use their emergency powers to institute price fixing for essential household goods and medical equipment to prevent corporate price gouging and ensure that all have equal access to necessary supplies. The governor and mayor should publicly demand that all corporations and businesses freeze layoffs, create remote ways for their employees to work, and continue to pay their staff. using public funds if necessary until the virus has been contained. Those working in retail, transit, caregiving, and the service industry should not be expected to stay home for public health reasons and receive no pay. Okay. Any CEO in Oregon who uses this crisis as an opportunity to maximize profits by cutting workers loose should be held accountable, including the CEOs who've contributed money to Ted Wheeler and Governor Brown. This is a test of the progressive leadership of our state to show that the private industry is not above the law or exempt from public responsibility, that our leaders will support the well-being of our community over capitalist greed. Finally, we call on the public to read the listed documents below for resources on how to prepare personally and collectively. We also encourage you to examine the mutual aid networks below and find out how you can help. And we ask that if you believe a crisis like this should not threaten the well-being of your family and neighbors, please join the Democratic Socialists of America so we can win a better world together. So linked below this article, and people only have to search Democratic Socialists of America, Portland, and coronavirus. So it's the first link that's up. There are resource guides for a coronavirus resource kit, COVID-19 resource guide, Portland Street Medicine's guide for living in a camp, and Flatten the Curve guide to COVID-19, what Adrian was talking about. And there are a growing list of mutual aid networks like Symbiosis, PDX Mutual Aid Fund for people who need it, Portland Area COVID-19 Volunteer Forum for people who are ready to step up. And the list is growing. So I hope that people check it out. I just wanted to share that because what many people are hearing is an incomplete story of how to address this issue. It's not just a public health issue here, but you know, the societal and political implications need to be teased out, because while the virus itself is going to travel and doesn't have any politics, the people who rule over us,
yes, do
are very much on the hook for the way that it is spreading and the reaction to it. So I just wanted to share that local socialist perspective. The National DSA also put out a statement that speaks quite a bit about immigrant scapegoating and nationalism, and why it's important for us to resist that as well. So just wanted to bring that in. So thank you to Adrian Enkhouse, the president of the Nurses Union, who came in to give us some of the medical side. And then I wanted to just bring this article in, which was just posted today from the DSA, to bring in some of the politics.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So now in the second half of our show, the theme is still coronavirus. And we have two more guests. As loyal listeners of the show know, I am a member of the newly presented Growing Seeds Workers Union.
And successful.
Yes.
Last,
oh my God.
Last
how
week
I even,
it was a question.
So much has happened. Okay. Yes. So loyal listener, this week has been crazy. Okay. So on Wednesday, the Growing Seeds Workers Union had our union vote at all three centers: Growing Seeds North, Growing Seeds Irvington, and Growing Seeds Crystal Springs.
What's Growing Seeds?
Growing Seeds is a series of child development centers throughout Portland, which cares for children ages 6 weeks to 6 years. And we have been organizing for the last year to unionize. And we went public on February 17th. And on March 11th, this week, we had our vote. And we won our vote by 91.6%. And so we are now unionized, just in time to watch the way that low-wage workers are being forcibly pushed onto the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. And to talk about that with me, we have two other members of the official Growing Seeds Workers Union. Their names are Ari and Nat. They are my coworkers and my friends.
Hi.
You want to say
hello? Get a little closer to your mics,
please. You got to get right there.
Okay.
Thank you. The closer you are to your mic, the more intimate it sounds to the people listening.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
How are y'all? How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Ooh.
Feeling fine.
You're feeling fine?
Fine. Longest week
yes.
ever.
Yes.
I'm not feeling that good. I'm pretty frustrated.
So why are you feeling frustrated, Ari?
Ooh. Well, we are experiencing our work really having absolutely no regard for our health, which I'm sure a lot of people are experiencing right now. Yeah, as I'm sure people know, Kate Brown was like, close all of Portland public schools, but we work for a private preschool, and so that doesn't apply to us, and our bosses and the owner of the preschool
get and the to Oregon decide, Early Learning Division
yeah get to decide that that doesn't apply to us and that we should be working anyways, and it's quite frustrating to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this kind of I know through developments that have occurred in the last few hours, it's been a crazy day for us. I guess just to recap, just to rewind, I'm laying in bed last night and I get this notification from our bisexual queen, Kate Brown, at 10:21 p.m. that she's going to close all public schools. And then I wake up at 10:40 today. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to work. And I know that
you
Ari's
wake up at
not after the bisexual queen.
Sorry, not 10:40. That's a lie. I wake up late at 8:35, and I'm like, "What? I'm up so late?" And then I hear Ari, my roommate, is not rustling around, not getting ready for work, and I'm like, "She doesn't think we're gonna go to work today." We're not gonna go to work today.
I was laying in my bed, and I said, I know any minute now I'm about to get this email because I know that this is not about to happen, but it did.
So we go to our very, very not well-populated school and get an email pretty early in the day, not early enough, saying that we will not close. And not just that we will not close, and this, from updates that I've heard in the last few hours from my sources, is similar to many experiences I'm across childcare workers in the city, it sounds like, who work for similar entities, private preschools, and I'm sure mimics experiences that are being had by childcare workers across the country. So we are told that not only will we not close unless we are told to by the Oregon Early Learning Division, but if we do close, it's only closed for parents and teachers. We will still come to work.
Parents and kids.
Sorry, parents and teachers. It's only closed for parents and kids, not for us. So we will still come to work and do all the things that we apparently need to do without the children until the school reopens. And there's been not much in the way on a statewide level and nothing on a federal level in the way of providing safety nets for early child care workers. There's been a recommendation by the Oregon Early Learning Division, which oversees all early learning in Oregon, as the name states, so learning before five, that employers implement good pay time off policies for the moment for people who are symptomatic of coronavirus, so already basically look like they have it, or who are already vulnerable, which I'm included in because I have cystic fibrosis. But that is very, very vague, and we have experienced it in a very vague way at our workplace. We have experienced that you have to kind of ask if you're able to get the support that you need. And we have not been offered any paid time off or given the choice to quarantine and distance ourselves socially unless we are in really serious danger. And then there's the whole like 6 feet apart. And if you are working, I work with 18 3 to 5 year olds.
Not possible.
It would, oh, our day would be, I can't even imagine if I did like the stay 6 feet apart.
stay 6 feet apart from my students challenge, how chaotic my day would be.
In a school of 150 children.
Exactly.
6 feet apart from everybody.
Yeah.
You do the math.
So that's what we're experiencing. And meanwhile, these big corporations, I'm seeing all my friends on Instagram who, you know, moved to New York and work for I don't know, all these big companies, tech companies, mm-hmm. like media outlets, mm-hmm. Who get to be at home, get to work from home, and still get paid in full. And I understand that there is a need for healthcare, obviously, and there's still a need for children who are vulnerable to, who are more vulnerable than most to, like, capitalist oppression and scarcity, who need food, who need care, still need that care.
Right.
But the situation that we're in right now is that healthcare workers and or low-wage workers mm-hmm. are being forced into the front lines of dealing with a global pandemic
right.
when though that population is already more vulnerable to receive it, because even if you don't have a chronic illness already, an underlying issue with your lungs, if you're a child care worker mm-hmm. or any kind of low wage worker, a food service worker, you are already exposing yourself
right.
so often.
And others.
To like, we're sick all the time at my job. We are always, people are always sick. So, yeah.
Always sick.
Yeah. And, like, something that keeps coming to mind for me, I've said it before and I'll say it again, cleaning is skilled work. And people who have jobs that is not specific to cleaning cannot be expected to just suddenly use a little extra sanitizer and things will be okay. It takes knowledge. It takes having...
Training.
Training, right. Like, so for places of work to just be like, oh, just wash your hands a little bit more and yada yada, that's not enough. And it also continues to devalue workers and acts like not all work is good and valuable work. But specifically, cleaning is a skilled job and it should be treated that way. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Our workplace will continue to only have a cleaning service once a week. And we will continue to interface without the training needed to be able to properly clean. There's not, and what Adrian's saying is like the non-essential businesses should not be open.
Right.
But right now, childcare workers are very vulnerable to the lackadaisicalness of the Oregon Early Learning Division, in my view. And the greed of the people who are running our schools who don't answer to very many people. Because there are children who need care, who do not have financial privilege. Yeah. I know that at many, many private preschools in this area, including the one that we work at, a great deal of our families are choosing to stay home. Yeah. And the way that our financial situation works is that parents pay every month and they agree to not be refunded that money.
Right.
They are bending over backwards to refund parents for like the marginal like waste of money like that they have experienced through like the possibility of being closed, mm-hmm. but have given us so little in the way of protecting us and protecting our health. They've just said, if you're sick, we encourage you to stay home. But if we're closed, you still need to come in. Which is ridiculous because there's no like loss of profit. It is not essential if we're closed for workers to continue to come in. Mm. It is not essential in any conceivable way. Mm. And workers are speaking up about that in the moment. But this is why you need unions, because when you have a union, you have protection and you have power. It was very good timing on Wednesday. On Wednesday, we had our vote, and now this is happening. And it just also, I feel like, is this very like clear demonstration of the devaluing of early childhood educators mm-hmm. as teachers. Like I've been saying all day, like if we were real teachers, we would be at home. We would be at home on Monday. Mm. Because of
how undervalued early childhood education is in general. And you see that just based on how it's structured compared to public school, mm-hmm. and how it's like outside of that realm and is unregulated and is not offered and is so inaccessible to most children because it's not seen as essential. And the government doesn't want to like expend the resources to provide it to everybody. And because of that, because it's so unregulated, because it's mostly in the private realm, the people who run it tend to put their interests above their workers in a very disgusting way. And so we are extremely vulnerable to, the reputational, somewhat financial, and laziness of the people who are running these schools. And if we were considered educators, and if this was considered valuable education, and if this had been like incorporated into the idea of education as a public good throughout history, we would be able to get what we need and still take care of ourselves and our health. Those are my words. Say that.
I don't know. It's been developing slowly for me the past few days, like trying to understand like the scope of what's going on. And something I'm just really confused about is, kids need somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about kids who are not in the class demographic that the kids we work with are in.
Yes.
I'm worried about literally all other children besides the demographic we work with. And I don't know what I think should happen. I'm just not sure. But what I worry about is the spread of things. And I think us working with this really privileged population who can totally afford to keep their kids home. They're all working remotely from their tech jobs, you know. I'm exaggerating. Many of these parents have the ability to stay home, and I'm just thinking about how if even schools like ours are open, I don't know, like I'm just thinking from like a like epidemiological standpoint, like if we can afford to protect ourselves and we're not, I just feel like this is getting out of control. Some people can't afford to protect themselves. Yeah. We can, and we're not. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, and also like, right, it speaks to like earlier, Adrian, right, was saying like, you know, check on your neighbors, and we should check on our neighbors. And this is showing very clearly that we don't have social services in place because of school shut down. Kids don't have basic needs met. That's not okay. And so it's really a much larger issue than these things. And we don't have a means of dealing with it.
Yeah, which is the importance. And I encourage you to look at the article that the statement from DSA that Alyssa read at the top of the show, that does include mutual aid resources, because that is what we need right now.
Well, there are going to be some restaurants that are going to be open next week to feed kids who are hungry. So check with the Portland DSA statement and the links below it for that, so that kids can stay fed.
Yeah. I mean, in the absence of any guidance from the people who are supposed to protect us and manage these things, we do need to be there for each other. And it is the fact that low-wage workers and people who aren't being given the option to stay at home, being trapped in this like capitalistic cycle where you have to put your work above everything, we are like being taken away from our neighbors. Like, if we were given the resources to keep ourselves safe, we would be able to make choices about how to help the people around us. But right now, we're being forced to continue to expose ourselves to this risk by going to work. Especially, and I don't want to make the population that we work with at our school sound like a monolith, because there are some people who like can afford it by scrimping, and there are people who can afford it and like plentifully and like can afford it and then pay for all these other things. Absolutely. But the purpose is like the percentage of people who have access to childcare like that is similar to the way it is at Growing Seeds. It's so small. And I was saying, like, if we can afford to protect ourselves and our bosses in the Oregon Early Learning Division is actively choosing to not allow us to.
Right.
And another disgusting thing about that is like the huge like disproportionate power there, where it's like while these children belong to families who can go home and quarantine, their teachers are making mostly under $15 an hour.
Right.
A lot so under $17 an hour. A few of us make like $18 an hour. Are living paycheck to paycheck. Are constantly sick. Many can't afford to go to the doctor. The cost of dealing with the coronavirus, if you get it, haven't even been covered.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, because we aren't given the option to protect ourselves by the people who run these schools, there are children like all across the country, all across the world right now, who have no other choice but to be in compromising positions where their bodies and their immune systems aren't safe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just going to say, and on top of that, the health insurance is very expensive. So,
yeah, I mean, the fact that like not even the bare minimum of like if you need to like... The fact that we don't have the infrastructure when wealth in this country is literally plentiful, like the thing that we have to go back to with these issues is just like the money is always there. The money is literally always just sitting there. The money is sitting there to deal with this right now. And the people who are holding it are going to be fine.
There are a lot of people that, like I'm looking at posts all day long, people who are newly organizing with their coworkers to strike together.
Yes.
Because if bosses are able to make an example out of a worker or a few workers who step out and just get rid of them, then that sends a chill through the spines of everybody else who's maybe thinking about it.
Yeah.
But if you talk to your coworkers and you all decide that this is something that y'all want to do and you work together, you withhold your labor together, say, no, none of us are coming in.
Yeah.
That puts your boss in a much weaker position. I just wanted to say that because I know that it's not just y'all at your preschool. It's people at other preschools, but more than that, it's people who work in retail.
Yeah. Grocery stores, restaurants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bosses that are threatening them from the outset. I know what you're seeing on the news. I know you see that we're in a state of emergency, blah, 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 and down the line. And if you step out, I'm cutting your head off.
I mean, think of people who are working in grocery stores right now, like,
right.
who are literally, like, ringing up, like, double, triple the amount of people they usually would, coming into contact with people who have been all over the place, who, like, might not be washing their hands, who might not be protecting themselves, who like, aren't, because they're in the grocery store right now. And yes, people need to be able to have the food and supplies that they need to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And like that is not an excuse to put low wage workers who aren't protected in their workplaces on the line. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing we can do is to fight back and is to say this is unacceptable. And if the system has to crumble a little bit for workers to assert that, then it has to, because it's not our fault. We can't carry this. I, as like a 23-year-old, like a recent college graduate with a chronic illness, like I cannot possibly be on the front lines of a global pandemic that my like farce of a government has failed to attend to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've already said that once the treatment is developed, once the drug companies put something out, that it's not going to be free.
Oh, absolutely not. Why would it be?
That, so,
I mean, if public health was such a dire issue that the government was actually interested in solving at all,
we would have already had Medicare.
Exactly.
Right, of course. I also just want to shout out all of the family at Street Roots, Sisters of the Road, and Right to Survive, Right to Dream 2, self-managed houseless organizations that have been training their community on how to deliver care to people who mm-hmm. are living on the street. And there are more people right now that are out on the street right now. I went to the Right to Dream 2 community friends meeting yesterday, because the recommendation to shelters is to put beds further apart, which means that there's less room to mm-hmm. have people yes. come in. So that means there are more right. people sleeping on the street. And that's why in the DSA letter that I read earlier, the importance of stopping sweeps. In case anybody doesn't know, a sweep is like one of the most devastating things mm-hmm. that you can ever yeah. see with your own eyes.
Yeah.
Because it's when the police come and take everything that people who are sleeping on the street or houseless neighbors take everything that they have, put it on a truck, throw it away. You might get it back, you might not. And you're left to with nothing, yes. less than you had yeah. before, as if you had something, but right. you know,
alone on the street.
So yeah. And then that's why there are more than 100 deaths last year of mm-hmm. people who mm-hmm. have to live on the streets from the police. Yes. So I just wanted to loop that back in and just give a shout out to people who are trying to do their part yeah. for public health and safety. In this moment, people who are listening, do not allow the scapegoating or the throwing mm-hmm. away of people who are on the bottom, because mm-hmm. of course we're all afraid of being in a worse situation than we are now, but the reason that we have that kind of fear, many of us, is because we see with our own eyes what it looks like when you slip up, if you lose that job,
yes.
if you lose your housing, your car, whatever you have that is keeping you afloat, it yes, that you can see with your own eyes just how cruel the state will be to you if you find yourself living on the street. Yeah, they'll beat you down. Mm-hmm. They'll throw you in jail. They'll degrade you and let you know just how low they think about you.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this moment especially, I just want all listeners to be thinking about a renewed commitment to solidarity with our houseless neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because they really are out here doing their part to try to keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
And they're people with the least options.
Yeah.
They're not out here hoarding anything. They're not right. out here jacking up prices, this and that. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones who are making you expose yourself. They're getting the brunt of all of this cruelty yes. that's being doled out by the state. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
You can donate. I should say that, too. You can donate to Right to Dream 2, the self-managed houseless encampment, Right to Survive, the houseless advocacy organization, Sisters of the Road Cafe that offers healthy yes. and cheap or free meals to people who need it, mm-hmm. and Street Roots, the fabulous publication, mm-hmm. best newspaper in town mm-hmm. by yes. far. Yeah. Yes. Eat It, Willamette and Mercury. Sorry,
yeah,
the best paper in town. Get Street Roots, a new issue every week. So all of the people in that family, I just wanted to like take some time and say thank you. We appreciate you. We see you. And if you have a little extra change in your pocket, if you're one of the people who are lucky enough to be able to get paid for working at home and you think you're good, think about supporting those organizations as they deliver the most direct care in town to people who are living on the street.
Ooh, yeah. Thank you. Anything else, Ari and Nat, that you want to throw in there?
Yeah. Because the most like overwhelming feeling that's coming up for me with all of this is like being like, for once I have like no opinion because I cannot figure out what is the solution to what's going on. I'm just thinking about how we're caught so unprepared with this. Like, we all know like there's a giant earthquake coming at some point, better prepare, and we're not prepared at all. Like no authority is prepared. No one could be prepared. The system's not set up for it. And now we have this huge reality check. And so because we need like mm-hmm. new creative solutions to be working really hard on it and having a lot of perspectives, and with state of emergency stuff, maybe new funds are being opened up for different things. I think what people in power need to be prioritizing is having people, the people who are hit the hardest by this, who are at the front lines of it, low-wage workers, houseless advocacy orgs, like people with all kinds of perspective, like need to be like they need to be prioritized, being heard, being involved in creative new solutions to completely restructure the way we're prepared for disaster, because we are so like disgustingly unprepared.
Yeah, I hope that the reality check is taken seriously.
Yeah, just a little bit of housekeeping, just because some of the events that we've promoted on the show have been canceled.
Yes.
So if you got the info from us and you're not plugged in already, the Secrets of a Successful Organizer training that was set to happen tomorrow has been canceled. That's the one. It's like all day starting at 10 o'clock that comes out of Labor Notes. That's canceled. And so is the at least the in-person portion of the Portland Metro People's Coalition, their candidate forum next week is going to be moved onto an online-only platform. So you can check in with Portland Metro People's Coalition to be able to watch or listen to those debates, because they're not gonna be in person.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that people know that, and if you have taken our advice and you follow Portland Jobs with Justice for all of the upcoming events and what's on the solidarity calendar, just about the last time I checked, about everything that is coming up in at least the next week is not going to be happening, and you can check in to see if there will be like an online or a phone component, but not any events happening in person.
Please take care of your neighbors. Please check in on your neighbors. Please don't be scared of people. Like, there's things that you can do to protect yourself. You will not get coronavirus by standing in the same room as somebody who has it. You can protect yourself and take care of your neighbors. And please take that stuff really friggin' seriously, because even though if you're not compromised, you will might contract it and get over it and never even know that you had it. I know somebody who that just happened to. If you are around somebody like me, somebody who's over 60, somebody who already has an underlying issue, which I'm sure there is somebody in your life who is experiencing that, you need to protect them, because the different, because if they contract it, they could literally die in a few days. Please don't be scared of the people around you and protect yourself at the same time.
And don't be a racist.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, yeah. If I catch y'all with this yellow peril anti-Asian sentiment, I'm gonna get real close to you with unwashed hands and kill you.
The one thing I wanna shout out about don't be afraid of your neighbors, get your neighbors' phone numbers ASAP.
Yeah.
Have them.
Yeah.
That's all.
Be in contact, be in community.
And if I catch y'all looking at me funny for coughing, I have cystic fibrosis.
She has cystic fibrosis.
I will cough into my hand and slap you in the face.
All
right. I think that's the end of our show.
Thank you. We ended with a slap.
Bam.
Okay. What are the five fingers said in a face? Okay. Well, thank you. So, Olivia, for next week's show, we're going to have to pre-record and then send in the audio file because Kabu is encouraging that people don't come in.
Okay.
So, we will not be live next week, but we will have programming for you all. Hopefully, some good news, some advancements in basic dignity. It's hard to find these days. Thank you for listening. This is Alyssa.
It's Olivia.
All right. Thank you to our guests. And
Ariana. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Good night, everybody. Good luck.
Bye. Bye.
KBOO Portland. Attention, KBOO volunteers. This is an all-hands-on-deck announcement. As of Friday, March 13th at 10 p.m., our station is closed to all volunteer activities. Only staff will be allowed in the building. If you're a program host, we need your help remotely. Even though we're closing the front door for 30 days to reduce the spread of infection, our airwaves still need you. Please pre-record your show and submit your audio to your director. If you have any questions or need assistance, please email staff. Information about KBOO's response to the COVID-19 pandemic is available on our website at kboo.fm/COVID-19. Thank you for helping to keep our airwaves up to date and engaging for our listeners who need your voice now more than ever. Together, we'll be able to get through this. Oh yeah, and don't forget to wash your hands.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Forgotten Island PDX on Friday, March 13th from 7 to 10:30 p.m. at New Expressive Works in Portland. Forgotten Island PDX is a hybrid film screening, concert, and sound performance centered around the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. Again, that's Forgotten Island PDX on Friday, March 13th.